What's that? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Oh, Lord, Miss Karen's going to celebrate her 36th wedding anniversary on Tuesday.
Oh, she is?
Oh, really? I'm telling you, have you ever heard about Adam and Eve? Okay, so much for that. Psalm 118, verse 8. It is better to trust in the word of the Lord than to put confidence in man. Psalm 118, verse 8. Psalm 91, verse 11. For he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. Psalm 91:11. 1 Peter 2:24, and he himself bore our sins in his own body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and to live to righteousness, for by his wounds you were healed. 1 Peter 2:24. Psalm 86:11, teach me thy way, O Lord, I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to be occupied with thy name. Psalm 86:11. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. If you will also turn in your Bibles to the second chapter of the book of Genesis, you'll be looking at verse 9 in just a few moments. Revelation 2, 7. Genesis 2, 9. We bow for a moment of prayer before we begin our study. Father, we rejoice today that we are your children, that we have the assurance that one of these days, by way of the rapture or by way of physical death, we will leave this life and we'll be in the presence of our wonderful Savior throughout eternity. We're thankful indeed today that we have that assurance. And we have that assurance based upon the authority of the Word of God, which teaches us without any doubt that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world and the only way of salvation. And so we're thankful that we are privileged to be here once again to turn our attention away from the distractions of the world and focus our minds upon eternal truths. We pray that you will guide us in these moments of study. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. On the screen you see Revelation 2, 7. The one having an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one overcoming, I will give to him to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. We have on the screen, since this is my worksheet, the passage from the German translation. And so you'll have to understand that my eyes are not the best, so wait just a minute. And it says, and the Lord God made to grow out of the ground every tree that is desirable to look at and good for food, and the tree of life in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you will, please, I would like for you to turn to Genesis chapter 2, and we begin our reading with verse 8. The Lord God planted a garden toward the east in Eden, and there he placed the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God caused to grow every tree that is pleasing to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Then it's down at verse 15. Then the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, from any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat from it, you shall surely die. I would ask you now, if you will, please, to turn in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs. We're going to be looking at several passages in Proverbs. The first one we're going to see is Proverbs chapter 3, beginning with verse 13. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 14. For its profit is better than the profit of silver, and its gain than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. Long life is in her right hand, in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who hold her fast. God has a plan of happiness. We've talked about that. God's plan of happiness for us in our day is that we live in the divine power system, and that we be properly related to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we have a desire to receive consistently and faithfully the mind of Jesus Christ, which is the Word of God. That's the reason why in this magnificent passage in chapter 3 of Proverbs, how blessed is the individual who finds wisdom and the one who gains understanding. For its profit is better than profit of silver, and its gain than fine gold. God's truth is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with the Word of God. Long life is in her right hand, in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who hold her fast. If you'll skip now over to Proverbs chapter 11, glance down at verse 30. Even though I should read verses 11 through 30, I will only read verse 30 to you. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who is wise wins souls. If you'll notice, Proverbs 11:30 says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who is wise wins souls. Turn a few pages more to Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15. We're going to be looking now at verses 1 through 5. Proverbs 15, 1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 2. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable, but the mouth of fools spouts folly. Verse 3 of Proverbs 15, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and watching the good. Verse 4, a soothing tongue is a tree of life, but perversion in it crushes the spirit. A fool rejects his father's discipline, but he who regards reproof is prudent. Verse 4 says, a soothing tongue is a tree of life, but perversion in it crushes the spirit. And verse 18 of that same chapter, a hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but the slow to anger pacifies contention. You've listened so well today in the first presentation, and I'm aware of the fact that I'm giving a tremendous amount of notes. I would encourage you not to be discouraged if you're not able to take the notes as rapidly as I'm giving them. The reason for them being given in this fashion is for you to be able to leave the service in a little while with a mental picture of what's going on rather than all the little specifics. Trees in the garden. Genesis chapter 2, verse 9. Four categories of trees in the original Garden of Eden. If you'll notice, tree 1 says every tree that is pleasing to the sight. Tree 2, and good for food. And 3, tree in the middle of the garden, happiness for mankind. And then there's the fourth tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, forbidden. And it's emphasized again in verse 17. What I'd like for you to do today is to be able to see that category 1, tree, is designed for the prosperity of the soul. Category 2, tree, is designed for food. Category 3, tree, in the middle of the garden, presents both capacity and plus tremendous blessings. Category 4 is the only volitional tree, and the command is, stay away. While you're looking at this, let me remind you that there are three major trees. One is emphasized in relationship pleasing to the sight, soul, good for food, body, and the tree in the middle of the garden, happiness for mankind. What I need to tell you here this morning is something you already know, and that is the real you and me is not this body. The real you and me is the soul. Your soul has the ability to comprehend, understand, categorize those things in the realm of the physical. In other words, you're able to see today that there are people sitting around you and you're able to detect individuals. You're not only able to detect individuals, but you're able to detect colors, which means that your soul has given you the opportunity to comprehend. Your soul is the real you. The soul, of course, is in your body. And what we have emphasized here is the fact that the real you is not the body. The real you is your soul. And the emphasis of this first tree says every tree that is pleasing in the sight. And that's an emphasis upon your soul. Good for food, an emphasis upon the body. And the third tree in the middle of the garden emphasizes happiness for mankind. Since you're able to look at that for a few moments, let's go into it in great detail. Summary of the trees. Category 1 trees. These are the trees which provided happiness in the soul. You have a soul that is satisfied with what God has provided. And God has provided for you and me the ability to understand and comprehend soul contentment. In other words, God desires that you and I be victorious and triumphant in life. He wants us to be happy individuals. That was the purpose in the beginning, in the garden, for Adam and Eve was happiness. And the tree of life was an emphasis upon eternity and upon happiness and joy and peace and contentment and all of those things that were involved there. And all of us are aware of the fact that Adam and Eve chose to disobey God, and as a result of that, unhappiness came. But God also has a system of happiness for our day. And that system of happiness is for us to understand the divine power system and choose to live in that system of power. So category 1 trees in the garden, these are the trees which provided happiness in the soul. Category 2 trees, these are the trees which provided prosperity and happiness in the human body. I don't know whether you've ever thought about it or not, but I want you to realize that Adam and Eve in the garden before the fall had so many fantastic blessings. You talk about perfection. You talk about joy and peace. You talk about the enjoyment of each other, intimacy, all of those things. You have to understand what took place before the fall. So there was the Category 1 tree, which provided happiness in their souls. Category 2 trees, the trees which provided happiness for the human body. And then Category 3 trees, these are the trees which perpetuated happiness and prosperity in both the human soul and body, in that perfect environment in the garden. But the tree of life is only good and fulfills its purpose in perfect environment. Now that's what I want you to be able to see. If you can comprehend this, it'll help you appreciate the divine power system. While you're in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not sinning. While you're in harmony with the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not under the control of your sinful nature. God has a way of putting us in our day, even though we have an old sinful nature, putting us into an environment that is classified as a perfect environment. And you've got to see that to appreciate what all is going on here. So I want you to rejoice with me as we reverse just a moment and look at Category 3. These are the trees which perpetuated happiness in and prosperity in both the human soul and the body in perfect environment. Take a look at Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Take a look at the individuals who were living in perfect environment and understand that they were in the midst of the perpetuation of happiness and prosperity that continued in this soul and in their bodies in this time of perfect environment. The tree of life is only good and fulfills the purpose in perfect environment. That simply tells me that when you and I find ourselves cleansed of sin, filled with the Holy Spirit, we're not sinning, we're not under the control of our sinful nature. And that's the environment in which we can find ourselves as happy, radiant, prosperous, progressive individuals. Let's move now to the fourth tree. The Category 4 tree is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Eating from this destroyed man's original prosperity and happiness. And look at this. Man actually stood there and had his choice between the woman and unhappiness outside the garden and the perpetuation of perfect happiness inside the garden. Now that's an amazing thought to me. I want you to see that the Lord said, of all the trees of the garden you can have, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, just stay away from it. And so we discover that the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was not what they needed in the garden in the midst of their perfect environment. Eating from this destroyed man's original prosperity and destroyed their happiness. And I stand amazed as I look back in my mind at Adam, who stood there in the relationship that he had with his companion. He stood there and had his choice between the woman moving outside the garden and unhappiness, or perpetuation of perfect happiness inside the garden. So this tells me that God originally planned, and we need to see it, that there is a divine invention. Let's look for a few moments at this divine invention. The tree of eternal life now is the cross where the Lord Jesus Christ bore our sins in His own body on the tree. We look back in the eternal ages past, we see Adam and Eve, we see them in their decision to disobey and to see them as fallen creatures. We move down through the centuries of time and we come to the point of time when God looked down upon mankind and mankind's unhappiness and said there's only one way for an individual to be happy, and that is to be properly related to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. So the tree of eternal life is the cross where the Lord Jesus Christ bore our sins in His own body on the tree. As long as man, number two, continued in the garden without sin, he did not need any knowledge of that fourth tree. Man did not need to know good and evil. Number three, in spiritual death, options of free will and the function of man's decisions then related to good and evil. I've said this many times, and I'm sure that you have a remembrance of this. This is not two trees, a tree of good and a tree of evil. It's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. One tree. It's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In spiritual death, options of free will and the functions of man's decisions are then related to good and evil. That brings us to point four. Man's spiritual condition at birth is physical life, spiritual death. Adam's original sin was imputed to us. Let's stop and look at that for a few moments. How were you born? You were born physically alive, but you were born spiritually dead. That simply means that you were not born trichotomously, body, soul, and spirit. You were born dichotomously, body and soul. Something had to change. And when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, God worked the miracle of regeneration and moved you from a dichotomous person to a trichotomous person. That simply means that now, as a born-again believer, you have the ability to comprehend and understand those things in the realm of the spiritual. An unsaved individual who is body and soul has a body and a soul. I repeat, a person who is unsaved has body and soul. The soul is the eternal part. The body is the part that moves the person, the real person, around. That person who is unsaved has a soul, and the soul has the ability to comprehend and understand, categorize those things in the realm of the physical. When the soul is saved, then God works the miracle of salvation, regeneration, and moves that person from dichotomy to trichotomy and gives that person the ability now to comprehend and understand things in the realm of the spiritual. The Bible says in Paul's writings in Corinthians, the natural man, the unsaved man, cannot comprehend, cannot understand the things of the Spirit. The reason is because they are psychikos, they're soulish individuals. But when a person accepts Jesus Christ as Savior and they're moved from dichotomy to trichotomy, they now become pneumatikos individuals. The word simply means that they are the recipients of a spirit. And it is the Holy Spirit that brings about regeneration and makes it possible for now the individual to appreciate and understand and love those things in the realm of the spiritual. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, our sins were imputed to Him. When we believe, we become the recipients of imputation of divine righteousness. How many times have I said, and it's important that I repeat, God works the miracle of regeneration. Some weeks ago, some months ago, some years ago, you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And when you did that, God worked the miracle of transformation in your life. And you were moved from dichotomy, body and soul, to trichotomy, body, soul, and spirit. Some of you are saying, well, I've heard that 10,000 times. Well, let me tell you, you'll probably hear it about 10 more thousand times because it's important that we get this clear in our thinking. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, our sins were imputed to Him. When we believe, we have the imputation of divine righteousness that is placed in us. Number six, there is the potential for great blessings in time. And these blessings are imputed to the indwelling righteousness of God. Now, some of you have a little difficulty, I would imagine. No one said anything, but some of you may have a little difficulty with this statement that I made in relationship to the desserts being omitted to some in heaven. And some of you are saying, oh, I don't believe that. Well, that's just your problem. I just want you to understand that this is telling us right here, there is the potential for great blessings in time. And these blessings are imputed to the indwelling righteousness of God. In other words, if a person is living his or her life inside that power sphere which is divine more than outside, you can rest assured that God is keenly aware of that, and He knows how to take care of things. Don't fear. Don't punch any panic buttons over this. Just be aware of the fact that you can always put it down that God is fair, and God understands what is best for each one of us. Okay, there is a potential of great blessings in time. These blessings are imputed to the indwelling righteousness of God. Now, let's look at the tree of life in relationship to the book of Proverbs. The issue is happiness in relationship to God. Happiness in relationship to what God has provided. Now, some of this will be repeat because it's important that we hear this and see it. The first three categories of trees in the garden, God revealed His plan for mankind. That plan for mankind was a plan of happiness. But the perfect happiness demanded perfect environment, a soul designed for happiness, and its perpetuation through the tree of life. Let's look at this and analyze what is being said in major division number one. The first three categories of the trees in the garden, God revealed His plan for man, happiness. But that happiness at that time demanded perfect environment, a soul designed for happiness in perpetuation through the tree of life. The tree of life in our day is God's plan for happiness for mankind, which is the divine power system. God provided, Roman numeral 2, in the garden, the perfect soul, the perfect body, and the perfect environment for man's happiness. No question in your mind about that. You are aware of the fact that when God designed that garden and placed man and the woman in that garden, and we could go into the details there, God provided perfect soul, perfect body, perfect environment for man's happiness. But let's look at this. Roman numeral 3. When Adam sinned, it was not a sin of morality. It was a sin of rejection of God's plan. And God who had invented happiness for mankind. I put in capital letters and large letters, a rejection of God Himself. Now let's face this and analyze what is being said. If you and I choose in our day not to understand the divine power system, and if we choose not to live properly related to God, understanding the filling of the Holy Spirit, the mind of Jesus Christ, and we fail to choose to live inside that power sphere continually, even though we have a sinful nature, even though we fail God, when we sin, we are out of fellowship. We have short-term our relationship out of fellowship. We get back in right relationship with God. All of us are aware of the fact that we have a responsibility to choose on a daily basis to live inside of that power sphere which is divine. But if we choose to get outside of that power sphere, rejecting God's plan in relationship to the power of the Holy Spirit, the utilization of the Word of God, in reality what we're doing is we are doing what Adam and Eve did. We are rejecting God. Now you look at that. I'm trying to let you see that this is being revolutionary in my own thinking. When Adam sinned, it was not a sin of morality. It was a sin, a rejection of God's plan. And it was a rejection of the God who had invented happiness for him. And do you realize that there are many people today who claim to be born again believers who are living their lives consistently and continually outside of the divine power sphere, and they are rejecting God's plan for their happiness? Let's go on. Happiness was and is related to the soul. Therefore, happiness is a matter of decision. Today, it is the divine power system. Number four, Adam in the fall lost the divine provision of perfect happiness. Adam in the fall lost the divine provision of perfect happiness. All they covered, they tried to cover their sinfulness, so to speak, with the fig leaves. You remember that? You know anything about fig leaves? I grew up on a farm and we had a fig tree. I know about fig leaves. When the fig leaves are dry, you can mash them and they crumble into thousands of pieces. Now, can you just imagine that they thought their nakedness needed to be covered and they chose human effort, human ingenuity, human ability to cover up their nakedness with their own efforts? Doesn't work. God says that's not what you need. There needs to be an animal slain, and there needs to be a skin, and there needs to be a cloak, a complete covering. If you look at the Hebrew words of the emphasis there in their covering at first, the Hebrew tells us it was a belt, it was a covering, but it wasn't much of a covering. When we see that God said there's a plan, that an innocent animal needs to be slain, and a complete skin needs to be taken, and that word there means a cloak, a covering, a beautiful symbol of the fact that there's only one way for you and me to be covered, and that is with the total work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Amen. So Adam, in the fall, lost the divine provision of perfect happiness. Number five, after salvation, though, a person can recover happiness, but it is all related to the plan called the divine invention. Number six, as indicated by the first category of trees in the garden, happiness is first of all the condition, the status quo of the soul. And if there's no happiness in the soul, a person can have everything else associated with happiness in our day and be the most miserable individual on the earth. And there are a lot of people today who are miserable individuals because they're trying to find their happiness in anything and everything other than God's wonderful plan for them. Number seven. As indicated in the second category of trees, happiness is expressed from soul to the body. And we could talk about that, but let's not spend any more time there. I want you to realize, though, that the relationship that Adam and Eve had with each other was fantastic and wonderful. The intimacy was out of this world. Well, that's a way of saying it, isn't it? But anyway, as indicated in the second category of trees, happiness is expressed from the soul to the body. Number eight, believers as winners today live in the divine power system consistently, but believers who are losers live in the satanic sphere of power. Therefore, number nine, cosmic believers are not only losers, but are unhappy as well, because there's no soul satisfaction, no happiness. What I'm trying to say to you is that cosmic believers are always seeking, searching for some area associated with happiness. This is what we find in our day. There are many people, members of churches, many of them perhaps have already been born into God's kingdom, but they don't understand when they find themselves out of fellowship, out of harmony, under the control of their sinful nature. They don't understand that they're cosmic believers. So cosmic believers are always seeking, searching, trying to find something that will satisfy It's something that is associated in some way with happiness. So what do? They come up with wrong conclusions. Wrong conclusions for happiness. Wealth, environment, marriage, sex, drugs, alcohol, a new job. On and on and on. We could go with a big, long list here. But there is no such thing as happiness. In anything associated with happiness, if you're unhappy. Think about that. There's no such thing as happiness in anything that may be associated with happiness if you're unhappy. Socializing with happy people will not make unhappy people happy. Being a part of a happy church will not make unhappy people happy. In other words, it's a condition of the soul. God desires that we understand that He has a plan for us. And that plan is a plan of joy, peace, contentment, happiness. But we have to choose to live inside of the sphere of power, the only place of happiness. May we bow for a moment of prayer, please. Father, we're thankful today for the challenge of Your wonderful Word in the fact that we realize that You desire for us to be a partaker of this magnificent tree of life, which is a tree of happiness, of joy, of peace, contentment. There are those who may hear this message who have never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. We pray that they will realize that the only way to find happiness in this world is to know personally the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, "I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me." It was Jesus who said that. And that lets us know that there's only one way of salvation, and that's faith alone, in Christ alone. We pray that there will be those who will trust You even now. And we thank You for all of Your wonderful blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.
And bow down and kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down and kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down and kneel before the Lord. Worship and bow down and kneel before the Lord, our Maker. He is our God. He is our God. We are the people of His pasture. He is our God. He is our God. We are of His hand. Come, let us worship and bow down and kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Lord, He is our God. He is our God. We are the sheep of His hand. Worship and bow down and kneel before the Lord.